as the service was going on, I was thinking, oh, I need to say something about that. Don spoke about the book of Haggai, building a house, building the Lord's house. We're going to talk about building houses today. It's no coincidence that he said that. And the overhead lights, he means. And I also want to thank Lydia for filling in today and helping with the offering song. I really appreciate that very much. Before I get into reading the scripture, I want to tell you a story. Some of you have probably heard a little bit of this, but I don't know that you've ever heard it in this way. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to bless the story as well as the scripture. How many believe the Lord can bless a story as well as he can a scripture? I believe it too. In about 1996, we bought a house in Campbell. And it was the ugliest house on the street. Truly, it was. It was chocolate brown on the outside and forest green trim. It had thick, heavy curtains that were just, had never been opened, it looked like. In the whole time that the people lived there, they'd never been opened. And that's the same house that I live in today. But it went through a transformation, and that's what I want to tell you about. At the time we bought it, it was small, very ugly, and very unstable on the back half of the house. The first thing that we did was to add a pantry because the kitchen was so tiny, there was just no place to put anything. And I had a family and, you know, I needed places to put things. So we relocated the original tiny kitchen to the back part of the house and we remodeled the one existing bathroom that had a door. It had turquoise carpet on the floor that had been there way too long. I'll just leave it at that. One day, Don came home from college and he flipped on the bathroom light and he heard Jim screaming in the attic, "Turn it off! Turn it off! Turn it off!" Don didn't know he was in the attic working on the electricity for that bathroom. But the back half of the house was a tacked on sort of a porch that had been walled around that rainwater poured underneath. And then when it filled up the underneath, it ran into the house over the threshold of the house. Caused a lot of dry rot, a great deal of mold and other bugs and other issues. The original part of the house was only about 800 square feet, so the space of this add-on was of value, but the condition of it was deplorable. And the fact that it leaked so badly that it wasn't on a foundation was a really big problem for my builder husband, who built custom homes up to 20,000 square foot. So we made do in the house for a while, but we decided in about 1999 that enough was enough. We needed to do something permanent to the house. So Jim set about getting the plans drawn, getting the structural engineer in line with the structural part. And in about 2000, we started the remodel. We didn't do it like most normal people do a remodel. Normally, you take out a construction loan and you pull your funds from that construction loan that's owned by the bank and you disperse the funds as they're spent. We used almost 100% donated labor and as much out-of-pocket expense as we possibly could to finish the process. Our sons my two precious brother-in-laws, Bob and Matt, my cousin Bob, friends, and even some of Jim's subcontractors worked week after week for over 2 years, till all hours of the night, evenings, weekends, whenever there was a couple of hours, somebody showed up to work. The first thing they did was to tear down all the damaged, rotting, infested wood and build a temporary wall across the back of the house. Otherwise, we would have had no way to lock the door. It would have just been open. And then the dirt work started, and my brother-in-law, Bob, started digging out the dirt for the foundation. They dug down 30 inches into the dirt and set the forms to pour concrete footings. That were reinforced with tons of rebar to prepare the pad for the new building. It was a huge job because it was done after working full days for all of us. My part, of course, was to feed the crews, all of them, morning, noon, night, whenever. And after a while, they tore down the kitchen that we had moved to the back of the house, and I had a makeshift kitchen in the original living room with a microwave and a skillet, an electric skillet, and my crock pot, and my sink was the bathtub. That was a lot of fun. Not really. But it was important to feed the crews and keep them going. I made pot after pot of soups and beans and stews and casseroles and cornbread and cakes and you name it, and there was always something being prepared for the workers to keep them going. My sisters were huge helps to me, as well as some of the other wives who just wanted to be near their husbands who were donating all of their free time to us. The old part of the house was left pretty much intact, while the new part in the back in the second story was being built. The day we tore off the roof on the front of the house, the original part of the house, was a Sunday afternoon. And that night, a freak storm came and poured down rain, and every light fixture in the house had rain pouring out of the light fixture. We had buckets everywhere collecting the water. The police were called multiple times about the noise at 2 o'clock in the morning, literally, sometimes. There were many, many runs to Starbucks, but yet, I should say there, I don't drink coffee and I don't know how to make coffee, so people preferred Starbucks. Yet somehow, by God's divine hand, it all got done, and we kept our day jobs afloat as well. Once the foundation was poured and the walls were up, the space took on a shape and a size that I couldn't even have imagined when we started the project just by looking at the plans. Jim made a two-story design with 30-foot high walls on the outside, and we know this because a 25-foot standard tape measure wouldn't reach from the peak of the house to the floor or the ground outside. The inside walls were 10 feet high, plus there was an 8 to 10-foot attic. Because of this open concept, the roofing structure and the ceiling had huge, long beams in it. One beam runs horizontally over the carport across the entire front of the house, and another beam runs the entire back of the house. And there are many, many more throughout the open spaces in the entryway, the kitchen. Some of those, I was told, are 18 by 6 by 20 feet long. Those are big beams. The trusses that cover the entire second story, every 24 inches, were gigantic. It scared me to death for Jim and the guys to walk those trusses, but they did. They span from the dormers back to the back of the house, creating that huge attic, which, of course, Jim filled with his many, many, many treasures. After we'd chosen the interior paint colors, which was a big job, and I had asked the painter, who was a sub that Bobby had picked up somewhere, and he fell in love with Jim, and he said, "I will paint your house." So he was the painter. And I said, "Christian, do you know how to faux paint?" And he said, "Oh, yes. You go to work, and when you come home, it'll all be done." When I came home, I had sun yellow walls with white polka dots. Big, he used a big sponge and just went blop, blop, blop. And that was the faux paint. I came home and saw that and just bawled. And Jim said, "Just go buy more paint and he'll paint it again tomorrow." So we did. We happened to use that same painter 2 years ago, still dear, dear friends with Jim. And the same thing happened when we painted the outside of the house. The paint color was awful. It didn't even look like it had paint on it. So I cried, and Jim said, "Go buy more paint. We'll have him paint it again." So we did. Finally got it painted inside and out. Don had worked several summers for a friend whose dad put hardwood floors in for his customers, and so he had a lot of experience in doing this, and he agreed to finish our staircase. I had to move out of the house because the fumes of that process were so bad, I couldn't stay there. I was very, very allergic to them. He did a gorgeous job on the stairs. They turned out perfect, and to this day, people walk in and see the staircase and say, "Wow, that's a beautiful staircase. They're gorgeous." He also installed all of the electronics wiring in the whole house, centralizing it into a smart panel in a closet in one of the extra bedrooms. I don't recall any major injuries or hospital runs, which is a miracle, absolute miracle, because Jim has fallen off of roofs, he's stapled a nail through his hand, a nail through his thigh. He was very accident prone, so to speak. But I don't remember any major issues, thank the Lord. But we prayed constantly for the safety of everyone and building mercy. And it was a glorious day in 2003 when we got the final inspection permit or approval and got the permit in hand and got to move in to the house, the new part. Yes, there are still a couple of doors that never got painted. You probably couldn't tell, but they're there. I know they're there. There's still a piece of tile with broken trim in one of the bathrooms that never got replaced. And there's even a door that doesn't even have a handle on it. But we don't use that door, and the inspector didn't care, so Jim didn't really care either. Over the past 20 years, that house has withstood some very strong earthquakes, many rain, wind, and electrical storms. We had one tiny leak in our bedroom because a flashing or something on the roof let water run in, and he had to fix that maybe 10 years ago or so. I don't remember exactly when. But the point is that the house is strong and solid as can be. I always feel so safe and secure when I'm at home, especially with all of the security cameras and equipment and everything that Don has put in has just been so appreciated and such a blessing. And yes, now the roof needs to be replaced. It's been quite a few years, and before Jim died, he was up on the roof putting up Christmas tree lights, and he came down and he said, "I can't believe how bad the roof is. We're going to have to replace the roof in the next couple of years." Well, after he passed, Matt got up there and said, "Debbie, your roof is bad. You got to have a new roof." I said, "I know." So he's planning to do that in the cooler months in the fall. One of the plumbing fixtures upstairs leaks, and there's no way that we can figure out how to get in under it because there's no crawl space into that tub where the fixture is. But I told you this story for a reason, and now I'm going to read you a scripture. The Lord laid this on my heart this last week. It's very familiar, and it's short. Luke chapter 7, verses 47 through 49. And this touches my heart because we have to hear these words of Jesus. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, heareth and doeth not. They both heard, but only one did. The words of Jesus is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, like ours was when we bought it. That back part was just sitting on the dirt, against which the stream, the same rainstorm, did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Of course, I know that this story that Jesus told is symbolic of a spiritual house. And I told you about the building of a physical house. But the process is much the same, and so is the outcome. One of the most important things that Jim did in the structure of building our house was what's called the foundation tie-downs, or anchor straps, or anchor bolts. There's a few different names of them. But their function is they bolt the walls to the foundation. He used 8 to 10 inch anchor bolts drilled into the foundation. And there are many, many of them. I remember when he put them in. And then the framed walls are nailed into the mud seal that goes directly on the foundation walls and sit right on top of those bolts. So the bolts go through the concrete, through the mud seal, and into the wall. And then the shear wall is put around the whole thing and nailed into the mud seal, where those anchor bolts are. The purpose of those bolts are to keep the walls from warping or tilting or even falling with stress. Notice in this passage that the same storm came to both of these houses. but only the house that belonged to the hearer and the doer withstood, the hearer and the doer of Jesus' words, withstood the storm because it was built on the rock of stability, on Jesus Christ himself. Just like Jim built our physical house with tie downs bolted into the foundation. Those tie downs anchor the house to the foundation. And Jesus gave us some of these anchors to lay hold of immediately in the immediate preceding chapters. You know those words that are in red? Those are the important words. He said, watch out for riches, because they may be your only consolation if you put your trust and faith in them. Watch out for false prophets, because your father didn't, and they got into trouble. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those that curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Turn the other cheek. Give your cloak also if you're asked for a coat. Give to those who ask of you again and again and again. Treat others as you would be treated. Give without expecting a return for your gift. But in hearing and doing, there is sure reward. Our house will stand the storm. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. In chapter 6 of Luke, verse 35, Jesus says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And one of those reward scriptures in chapter 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be meted to you again. And verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. I want to ask the Holy Spirit right now to bring his clipboard and his pen and go through the inspection report with our hearts. Every time the inspector would come, the men worked so hard to follow every little detail of the building plan. But invariably there would be some little something that the inspector would point out that would have to be done before he would approve that phase of the building. I want us to ask the Lord, do I have any missing foundation bolts? Are there any screws and anchor straps that I need to hold my house on your foundation when the storm comes? The Bible didn't say there may be a storm. It said when the storm came, it beat. And the one house stood but the other fell immediately. I want to ask the Lord to forgive us for apathy, for ignoring these things until now, for not both hearing and doing His word. Maybe we're missing anchor bolts of kindness, faith, love, discernment of truth, sanctification, dedication, obedience. Are my priorities in line with His word? Holy Spirit, I just ask You now to reveal to us so that my spiritual house stands firm on the rock of Jesus Christ, so that my walls don't get tilted or sway in the wind, but stay aligned in Your word, because they're securely fastened to Your foundation. Father, You know our hearts better than we know our own hearts. And we just ask You now, by the moving of the precious Holy Spirit in each of us, to reveal, Lord, if there are those anchor bolts that are missing, what they are, and how we can go about fixing that problem and strapping down to the solid rock, the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful that You're a wonderful, merciful Savior, and that You have the answers that we're asking today. He does. He has the answers. If we pray this prayer in earnest, I know He will show us what we have need of in our hearts. Audrey, would you mind come and sing the song? I'm going to ask her to sing Wonderful, Merciful Savior, and then Dawn's going to come and close.
Wonderful. Audrey. That was beautiful. Mom mentioned to me maybe midweek, hey, I would like you to close this week, say something in closing. She didn't tell me what her sermon was about other than building, and she had talked with me about some of those stories, and so I wasn't really sure where to go. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures and a lot, the Lord had a lot to say about building in the Word. The Proverbs, I believe it says, if God's not in it, then the building is in vain.
Amen.
And as I mentioned in Haggai, he was encouraging the people to build the temple, to set aside their own lavish homes and to focus on his. And our family was doing some Bible study earlier in the week, and we were studying 1 Corinthians. And we came across this scripture, and I didn't know exactly how it would tie to moms, but it says in chapter 3 and verse 10, by grace God has given me I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it.
Yes.
I don't know why I can't read it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light.
Yes.
It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. But only as one escaping through the flames. Dad built our house as well, and I could go on and on with stories of that. Fond stories now that it's built and complete, but there were injuries along the way there and blood shed. but it was built strong. And this place has been built strong. And one thing I know I've struggled with is I was at a board meeting maybe a couple years ago, and there were 5 men that aren't here today for different reasons. And I mentioned, and they all had plans, you know, some plan to retire and move, and there were different plans, and I thought, and some are older in age, and some have now passed, and I thought, well, what if it's just me by myself here? What's the plan for the future? Because I don't feel so great. I don't feel like there's a transition thing here. What's the future hold? Things have changed a lot since then, and that was not that long ago. But one thing that I know is that this place was founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And there is no other. But that we're each only responsible for our own building. We're not responsible for what was done before us. We're responsible for what we've done. The scripture says that our work is going to be tested by fire. And I'm sort of in the middle of age. Some of us are a little beyond, and there's many here who are younger. And you're not going to be responsible for what someone else has built. You're going to be, it says, the work that we do is going to be tested by fire. Our souls are saved. We may barely make it as one escaping the flames and see all of our work lost The commentary says it's a loss that we will experience if our work is burned in the fire, and as a church and as individuals, we see all that we did with our time on earth burns away. That will be a loss. I mean, we'll thank God we'll be with Him. Thank God our souls are sealed in Him. But to see all that you've done burned away, be quite a loss. But if you're built on the foundation of Christ, and as Mom said, tend to the foundation. Are all the bolts in place? The foundation of Jesus Christ is strong. The foundation of Jesus Christ is not going to be washed away, but we must adhere to that foundation. And in building, in all that we do, keep checking. Am I with you? Am I in your will? Are we as a church in your will? Are we building as you instruct? Are we focusing on your priorities and not our own? So that when the day comes and our work is tested, it doesn't burn in the fire, but it survives the fire as if it were gold, silver, or costly stones. We know here that we're founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And a lot of good people have put their livelihoods into just this church alone, as well as many others across the Bay Area. But we're responsible for our contribution. Not how we got here, but where we go from here. And the Lord brings the increase. But let us adhere to the foundation of Christ, and let us continually check.
Yes, Lord.
Are our priorities in place?
Holy Spirit.
Are we tending to our own homes or the house of the Lord? There's nothing wrong with a nice house. There's nothing wrong with building a good house and feeling strong and safe and secure in it. But in the work that we do for the Lord, we don't want to see it lost. And we all have time. We all have opportunity. And let us go to the Lord and say, Lord, direct our ways, direct our paths. If God's not in it, then the building is in vain, and we don't want to waste our time building in vain. So, Lord God, we come to you as the great inspector. And as the work goes on and the work continues, even in a small church, you said, don't despise the small things, the humble beginnings, because you see. You provide the plans, and you know the finished work, and it's all by your hand. And we look to you in our own personal lives and in everything we do, every effort we make to build your kingdom. Direct us. Let us not waste time building structures that will be burned in the fire, but let us put all of our time, effort, love, and passion into building your kingdom your way, by your instruction, according to your perfect plan. In our homes, in our families, in our work, in our schoolwork, in our studies, in our study of your word, and in loving, caring, and praying for one another. Let us not waste time with straw structures, but let us tend to the plans, the masterful plans of Almighty God, on the foundation of Christ that will never be washed away. We pray, Lord God, that you just encourage each one of us here today as we go. God, that we can focus our attention on your plans, and that we can continually check with the great inspector that we are building according to plan and not wasting time on our own priorities, not deviating from the plans and creating something that's going to get washed away when times get tough. And we know, God, that in our lives, in our churches, in this church, we just continue to build on the foundations that have been laid before, on the seeking and the prayer that has come before, whether it be in our families, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, or in this house, which also is built on the prayers and efforts of grandparents, great-grandparents, and others, families, and loved ones and friends, Lord God, that the work can continue according to plan and that we can build according to your perfect specifications, and that when we're done and our work is tested, that it survive and we not experience the loss of wasted time and effort, but we see, Lord God, what happens when we focus on your will and your plans in accordance with your word and your direction, and we see the work stand the test of the flames. We pray your blessing over each and every one as we go today. Thank you, God, for this word. Thank you, God, for the buildings that have come and the building that continues. And as we lend our part in this building, in building your kingdom, in homes, in schools, in friendships and relationships, and in this building itself, Lord God. And as we love and reach out to and pray for one another, loving our neighbors as ourselves, Lord God, as we build your kingdom, bless each step, direct each step, each decision, Lord God, and be near in your presence and spirit, that we know, Lord God, we are building your kingdom, your way, that will last the test of time. In your name we pray. Amen.